If you need some encouragement, if you need some hope, if you need your faith strengthened, you're listening to The Right Show.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here from Jerusalem. Yes, in Israel. This is where I was when the Supreme Court decision was announced on Friday in the land of Israel. Someone gave me a message from China and said, this is a Jewish believer ministering in China. He said, I can't tell you exactly what, but there's something prophetic about all this, that you are in Israel. You are in Jerusalem as these things unfold. Friends, I want to give you encouragement and hope in the midst of a lot of darkness, a lot of upheaval, a lot of shock. I want to remind you that whatever state America is in, and it is a miserable state in many ways right now, and so much of the world going crazy, I mean, horrific terrorist attacks taking place over these last few days as well, more atrocities being committed. I want to remind you that Jesus is Lord. I want to remind you that Father God sits enthroned. I want to remind you that as you turn to Him and worship, He is not in a panic right now. I have been grieved, terribly grieved, like you have been, over what the Supreme Court did, the utter outrage of their decision, the complete bashing of the Constitution and Bill of Rights that they're supposed to uphold, creating things that have never existed, and that to the founders and the very amendments, Bill of Rights, the very words that the justices were appealing to, all the people that wrote those things absolutely would have pulled their hair out at the thought that their words were being used to redefine marriage, to say that two men or two women could, quote, marry. I'm grieved, but of course we were expecting this. I was almost sure this was what was going to happen, as were many, just based on Justice Kennedy and where he would rule. We knew where the four liberal judges would go. We knew where the four conservative judges would go. And Kennedy, who was a Reagan appointee, the only one that's gone the other way on these issues, in other words, everyone else has held true to form, we pretty well knew where he was going to go. But I am not in the least bit discouraged. And I believe ultimately that we'll be able to thank Justice Kennedy for what he did. In fact, check out my latest article. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Check out my latest article, Thank You, Justice Kennedy. I'll get into a little bit of it later, but I believe, as bad as this is, as tragic as this is, as embarrassing as this is, how did you feel Friday night when the White House was lit up and the rainbow colors and the gay flag colors? How did you feel? How did you feel if you voted for President Obama? We warned you, friends. We warned you. It's not because I had anything against the man. It's not because I'm a Democrat basher. God forbid it had nothing to do with his skin color. I wanted to be able to vote for our first black president. I wanted the privilege of being able to do that, but I couldn't. How'd you feel when that took place? But we warned you for a reason. Friends, as bad as this is, as shameful as this is, here in Israel, where the secular Israelis are very much pro-gay activism, and of course the very religious militantly oppose it, there's already a parliamentary member, a Knesset member, who said we need to follow suit, we need to follow what America's done and redefine marriage here in Israel as well. But friends, this is going to be used by God to help wake up the church. And this outrageous decision, this complete overreach of authority, this will be used to help wake up the church and help illustrate points that we have been making for years. Namely, when you redefine marriage, you make it meaningless, and that gay activism is the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America. We're going to give you a number of quotes, share a lot of specifics with you. Call a friend. Tell them to tune in to The Line of Fire from Jerusalem right now. Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown coming your way from Jerusalem, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. You say to me, and by the way, I'm not taking any calls at all today. I'm not even going to play a single soundbite. I just want to share a whole bunch of things with you. Tomorrow, God willing, we'll be taking calls and you'll be able to interact. But you might say to me, how is it that you are not discouraged? Come on. You might say to me, Mike, you've been standing on the front lines of this issue for some time now. You've been writing all these articles. You wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America. You wrote Can You Be Gay and Christian? You've written so many articles on this. You've done debates on this and everything you stood for, all these things you've lost. How can you not be discouraged? Oh, no, friends. I've expected the bad stuff first. I've expected a lot of social madness first. I've expected a lot of overstepping of bounds first. Sure, it's discouraging to see on a certain level because you care about your country and you care about what's best for the family and you care about future generations. If Jesus doesn't come first, or Yeshua, as he'd be known here among believers in Israel, that if he doesn't come first, we're looking at multi-generational issues. And in other words, my perspective is not that marriage has now been redefined for good in America. Rather, the battle has really just begun in earnest. You're talking about the Supreme Court trashing the votes of more than 50 million Americans who voted for marriage as God intended it to be, as society needs it to be, as it always has been, the union of a man and a woman. I remind you, even polygamous unions and other things like that always have that ingredient of a man and a woman within it. But we're looking at a multi-generational battle here. And even though the overwhelming vote on this among Americans over the years overwhelmingly has been for marriage, not for redefining marriage, Supreme Court trashes that, overturns that, finds a constitutional right to that where no such thing exists. Yeah, on a certain level, it's discouraging, but when you expect the darkness before the light, when you know that God's positioned you and his people for this very hour, it's not discouraging. You see, and let me just speak from the heart for a moment, then I want to bring a bunch of quotes for you and a lot of fascinating different perspectives, all right? If you miss any part of the broadcast, please go listen. We'll have one intensive hour repeated twice. That's what I'm doing today from Jerusalem, okay? So make sure you listen to the entire hour. If you miss any of it, go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and just click on latest broadcast later today. When God laid it on my heart to get involved with issues having to do with homosexual activism and to help turn back the tide of homosexual activism, that was in 2004. When he laid it on my heart to do this, I thought to myself, this must be the massive social cultural issue of the day. At some point early on, I realized that. Why? Because I'm amazing with my insight, because I'm incredibly prophetic. No. It was obvious. See, when it came to Jewish ministry, here I am in Israel, and believers here that are on the front lines of Jewish evangelism have said that by God's grace, I created a whole new realm of Jewish outreach, remade the whole apologetic, and has helped so much in the evangelistic work they're doing today. Why? Well, when I came to faith, there was no one else doing it. When I went to other Jewish outreach ministries, they were just doing simple outreach, not apologetics. When I went to Christian scholars, they didn't have sensitivity to the Jewish objections. God raised me up, and there may have been 10 people before me that got the call and didn't do it. All I know is when it came to me, I was the only one. To this day, there's nothing comparable to the 5 volumes Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus or to the 22-hour DVD series we did. I'm not trying to sell it to you. I'm not boasting. It's the Lord's grace. Any good that's come out of it is 100% God, Don't pat me on the shoulder. Thank God I stand by mercy, not by my greatness. But what do you need me for on family, moral, cultural issues? I'm thinking this 10, 11 years ago. You got James Dobson. You got Chuck Colson. You got Tony Perkins. You've got a host of solid family ministries and solid political organizations, Christian political organizations. What do you need me for? I'm traveling to the nations preaching the gospel. I'm doing Jewish evangelism. I'm helping to stir the church for revival in America. I'm calling for moral and cultural revolution. Oh, now I get it. This is the big issue. This is the tipping point when it comes to moral and cultural revolution. This is now the principal threat to freedom of speech, religion, and conscience. Now I get it. So I understood quickly that it was kind of like everybody's needed now. We've got to all throw ourselves in. I don't mean that everybody got the call. Of course not. I don't mean if you didn't get this call, you weren't obedient to God. What I mean is that even though there are a lot of people out there doing it with far more wisdom and knowledge and experience and background than I had, and those who had come out of homosexuality that were working effectively in this regard, even though that was the case, more people were needed. And this tied in with the message of moral and cultural revolution that I had been preaching for some years. This was now the tipping point of it. But the moment I got involved, even in fact years before it, I found a journal entry from several years before it. I recognized, my wife Nancy, we recognized that this was a lost cause for this generation. In other words, it had gone too far in the schools already. It had gone too far in the media bombardment. It had gone too far, even in public opinion. It had gone too far in other aspects of the society that barring divine intervention in this generation, it was already a lost cause for this generation. Homosexual activism had already triumphed some years ago, and now that triumph was just playing itself out. So years back, I anticipated the worst. It's like God said to you, Lazarus is dead. Not Lazarus has a toothache. Lazarus is dead. The only way he's going to rise is by God's miracle power. Well, that's what I've known from day one, that the only way we're going to turn the tide is by God's miraculous power. And that means a massive, unprecedented revival in the church and an awakening and shaking in our culture. And that means the people of God on their faces. It also means that the opposition that we're already starting to receive and is going to increase exponentially, as I'll demonstrate for you in a little while, if you haven't already been getting hit with the hatred and the vitriol and the ugly attacks, this is also going to help wake up the people of God and separate those who are serious from those who are not, those with courage from those who are compromising. So I feel perfectly positioned for this very hour. This is why I'm on the radio. This is why I'm writing these books. This is why I'm writing these articles. My new book comes out in September, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, where homosexual activism is really going and how to turn the tide. We've encouraged folks to pre-order the book now, and then when it comes out in September, you get it at whatever the best price is online, and that's when you get billed. But we've encouraged folks to pre-order to start to raise awareness of this, because my book is a saying already that gay activism has within itself the seeds of self-destruction, that when you render marriage, when you redefine marriage, you render it meaningless. When you basically declare war on gender, you create an unsustainable environment for society. When a movement that was a movement of victims and bullies becomes a movement of victimizers, a movement that was a movement of victims and people who were bullied, it becomes a movement of victimizers and of bullies, it becomes self-defeating and sentiments of the nation begin to shift. So I've written a whole book on how to outlast this storm. I'm like an umbrella salesman and the thunderstorms have hit and people aren't expecting it. No problem, we got the umbrellas. Already, just because folks have started to pre-order the book 2.5 months before it's going to come out, it's already on Amazon, jumped up to the number one book under the topic of gay and lesbian activism. Number one book under gay and lesbian demographics because of all the quotes and information material we have in there. I feel like this is our hour now where we finally get to live things out and where people are going to have to embrace a revolutionary mentality. So I'm not discouraged. I'm hurting. I'm grieving for our nation. I'm embarrassed. And at the same time, it's painful to know that as we stand for what's right, there will be many fine people who identify as LGBT who will feel that our lack of support for them indicates hatred. That's painful, but we have to live with it. Check out an article I wrote last week on what happens when you feel the conflict between loving God and loving your neighbor. Friends, I'm going to give you some very perceptive, insightful quotes when we get back. And I want to encourage you. In fact, I'll talk about this first when we come back. I want to encourage you to be praying for us in some very specific ways. This is why we are doing what we are doing. We are here for such a time as this.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming your way from Jerusalem, but I'm not taking any calls. I've got an hour full of things on my heart I want to share with you. God willing, we'll open the phones tomorrow for further interaction. I want to ask every one of you to pray for God's provision for us to expand what we are doing and to help us continue what we are doing in the midst of all the pressure we face. This is not for me. This is not to go in my pocket or the pockets of our staff. We are understaffed. We need to add people to what we're doing. We have so much that we can do with a little more funding, to the point of even putting out quality videos from this broadcast every single day, and one day even being able to live stream. We have so much we can develop. We have open doors to be on more stations. We just need your help. If you believe in what we're doing, if you appreciate me being your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, would you become a torchbearer today? Would you stand with us? Your gift, you put aside $1 or more per day, $30 or more per month. Talk about it with your spouse if you need to. Stand with us. We could really use your help. It would be such an opportune time if a bunch of you said, Mike, Dr. Brown, we're standing with you. We're glad that you're out there. We're glad that you're speaking. You're speaking for us. We're supporters. We want to support you with more. We want to become supporters. We'll send you a new message every month. I send you a thank you book just for signing up, and it'll help equip you. You get access to key online classes that we've taught free. You get a 15% discount in the online bookstore. We send you a special prayer update letter every month. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. Or if you can help with a one-time gift, please do. Or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown. Wherever you're listening all around the world, go there, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on Donate. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your solidarity and support. This is about the gospel. This is about the glory of the Lord. This is about gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. And ultimately, as America is strengthened, we can take the gospel much more effectively to the ends of the earth. As America shakes and America is weakened, we hurt other nations as well. Let me give you another word of encouragement. We're really active on social media, as you know. As I was flying to Israel, I was online. This was Thursday going into Friday morning. And I happened to notice on our Facebook page an unusually high amount of activity. Now, on our Facebook fan page, we can just click on something that says Insights, and it will tell us how many people we have reached in a week. Meaning, if we put something on the page, say with 120,000 fans there, so now we've reached potentially 120,000. Let's say you have 1,000 friends and you share one of our posts. Now we've reached 121,000. Maybe your friends, 300 of them, they read the post, they post it. Between them, they have 5,000 friends or 50,000 friends. Now we've reached that number. It means this is the potential that we've reached on all the different pages. Well, in a good week, we've reached 10 million, 11 million, even 12 million. And we've had as many as 1 million actively engaged. In other words, on our post, that many people in a week have either shared it or liked it or commented on it or something like that, interacted directly. Well, as I'm flying, I'm noticing the number just keeps going up. I thought, look at this. And it had gone up way, way higher than we had ever seen it before the Supreme Court decision was announced. I was expecting it Monday. When it didn't happen Thursday, I was expecting it Monday. I preached in Israel, and after preaching in Israel, when the service ended, it was the late afternoon Friday. I got in late morning, got to sleep a couple hours, went straight to preach, just God's sustaining grace after very little sleep and many hours of travel over to Israel. I preach the message. I check my cell phone. I'm getting flooded. People emailing all these headlines, all these reports about Supreme Court has made this decision. And then, of course, everything started to take off even more. Listen, friends, we've gone maybe 1 week instead of reaching 10 million, we've reached 10 and a half million. Or instead of 10 and a half million, 11 million. Do you know that in the last 7 days on Facebook, we reached more than 40 million people? We had 4 million people actively engaged on our posts. And we had one post, our team working tirelessly, one post after another with a strong message, with a scriptural truth, with truth about marriage, with a link to an article, with a link to a video. Boom, boom, boom. I'm telling you, friends, this is the hour we were made for. And if the Supreme Court had made the right decision, all that would have done is just delayed a further onslaught of gay activism. To make this ridiculous, horrific decision, this infamous decision, which is certainly, if you look at the three worst in our nation's history, Dred Scott in the 1800s, that declared a black person to not be fully human, basically, Roe v. Wade, which swung open the doors to the slaughter of more than 55 million babies in the womb, and now this, radical redefining of marriage, and based on the Supreme Court ruling, there's nothing in the language that can be used to argue against polygamy and other relationships. In fact, in the language, it has to be clearly seen that the number two has become completely arbitrary. But it's almost for the best that the worst has come first, because this is what was needed to wake up a sleeping church. Despite years of warning, people are finally understanding why we have said this so clearly. Professor Robert Gagnon, a dear friend and the world's foremost biblical authority on the Bible and homosexual practice, a fine New Testament scholar, he wrote an article entitled American Tragedy, Now Gird Up Your Loins. I quote him and link to his article in my article, Thank You, Justice Kennedy. He cites some of the words of the justices. The dissenting opinion of Chief Justice Roberts is right in declaring this ruling to be, quote, an act of will, not legal judgment. Just who do we think we are? Who ever gave the Supreme Court the right to define marriage, to redefine marriage? Whoever gave them that right? Justice Scalia is right in saying that this ruling is, quote, a threat to American democracy. Justice Alito is right in warning that the decision, quote, will be used to vilify Americans who are unwilling to assent to the new orthodoxy. The implications of comparing traditional marriage laws to laws that denied equal treatment for African Americans and women will be exploited by those who are determined to stamp out every vestige of dissent. And friends, it is already coming our way. the extreme hate mail, even people saying, here's one, this posted on our Facebook page, God's design for Christian haters, meaning people like you and me, is to end up in prison. Oh yeah, it is out there. How about this one? Christian hater riffraff like Dr. Michael Brown and others must be brought to justice. Zero tolerance for these blank. That's what they've got to say. Friends, war has been declared, but victory is ours in Jesus, Yeshua. Fear not.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks again for joining us on The Line of Fire. If you appreciate us being your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise, tell a friend about the broadcast. Send them a link to today's broadcast. Pray for us. Support us financially. I'm not doing this to make a living, friends. Being on the radio, doing what we do is very costly. It would be 1,000 times easier. More than 1,000 times easier to just travel and preach and write and lecture at seminaries and not have to have my entire life revolve around 2 hours of live radio every day and our whole team that has to be involved with it. It would be thousands of times easier, but I wouldn't trade this for the world. This is a joy. This is a privilege. Here I am in Israel. And people coming up to me saying, I read all your articles on moral and cultural issues. It brings us so much encouragement. Here I am in Israel, and people come up to me with a smile. I listen to your podcasts every day. Thank you for allowing me to be a voice for you. Let's do this as a team. Share our posts on Facebook and Twitter. Help get our message out. Articulate it in your own words as you speak and share with others. And friends, unless Jesus comes first, I firmly believe the tide will turn. This is a multi-generational battle. But right now, it's going to get very, very serious. Listen to what Professor Gagnon wrote. He is absolutely right in saying this. He said, unless this decision can be reversed soon, through the next two presidential elections and the retirement, replacement of renegade SCOTUS, judges, Ginsburg, Kennedy, and Breyer, the first up, this will turn out to be the greatest American tragedy for the civil liberties of persons of faith, for the cause of sexual purity in the United States, and for the lives of persons struggling with same-sex attraction. You might say, well, how does, maybe you're a gay couple, how does your, quote, marriage affect me? Well, first, I'm not just thinking about me. That's a very selfish perspective. If you were living together out of wedlock, how does that affect me personally? If there are three of you living together out of wedlock, or three of you, quote, married, how does that affect me personally? If you left your spouse and went with someone else, how does that affect me personally? That's not the issue at all. The issue is, what is best for society as a whole? You have no basis whatsoever to forbid any other relationships, including two adult brothers who want to be married, including the many polygamous couples who want to be married. I've read that there are as many as 20,000 polygamous Muslim couples in London. I think in London, could be in England as a whole, but I think in London. And some have said they didn't protest at all. They didn't get involved in fighting the redefinition of marriage in England at all because they're just waiting for the right moment and push for polygamy. There's no way you can say your relationship is good and that one isn't. Well, that hurts women. If the women want it, that's up to them. But not only so, this is going to be taught in our classes now, in our schools as normal. That affects me because that affects my kids, that affects my grandkids. And those of us who differ will now be codified as bigots. You better believe that affects me. So, as Robert Gagnon said, as individuals, people of faith will be aggressively indoctrinated, fined, denied advancement, fired, intimidated, and subject it to ceaseless verbal abuse in public and private schools, at institutions of higher learning, at places of employment in public and private sectors, and throughout the main communication organs of the media and entertainment industry. Their institutions and businesses will be set on a collision course with the state, denied government funding, contracts and loans, denied accreditation and tax-exempt status, and subjected to government harassment. That's absolutely true. We've already seen enough of it to know the rest is coming. And now that people think the Supreme Court's made the final decision, the battle's over, you better believe we're going to be blasted, vilified, maligned, hated, mocked in ways we've never seen in this country. Get ready for it. But hey, didn't Jesus already tell us to expect that kind of treatment? We just get to live out a biblical ethic now.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a whole lot more to say from Jerusalem about the Supreme Court ruling. Not taking calls today. Republican candidates weighed in very clearly against the Supreme Court decision. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. He's made religious liberty a major theme of his bid for the Republican presidential nomination, said the decision, quote, will pave the way for an all-out assault against the religious freedom rights of Christians who disagree with this decision. He said the Supreme Court decision today conveniently and not surprisingly follows public opinion polls and tramples on states' rights that were once protected by the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. Marriage between a man and a woman was established by God, and no earthly court can alter that. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee vowed not to, quote, acquiesce to an imperial court any more than our founders acquiesced to an imperial British monarch. He said the Supreme Court has spoken with a very divided voice on something only the Supreme Being can do, redefine marriage. We must resist and reject judicial tyranny, not retreat. On and on. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker called the court's decision a grave mistake and called for an amendment to the Constitution to strip the courts of their authority on this issue. One after another, Carly Fiorina, who as an HP executive, CEO, favored civil unions and things like that, but she says no, marriage is the union of a man and woman, and woman, there's religious content behind it. She said Friday's ruling is the latest example of an activist court ignoring its constitutional duty, declaring the Supreme Court, quote, did not and could not end this debate today. Absolutely true. Now, here's something else that's really interesting that I want to present to you and that I deal with in my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, where homosexual activism is really going and how to turn the tide. My book anticipated the Supreme Court would make this ruling. In the preface to the book, I say, look, from the time the book's written to the time it's published, because it's always a few months in most normal cases. I've had a few books come out in a matter of weeks, but that's not the norm. With publishers, with planning, with all this, that this is the way it works. So I said, look, a lot's going to happen between when this book is published and the book is written and published. And I said, including the Supreme Court decision, I fully anticipated that it would go this way. This is the way almost everyone was expecting it to go. But the book's anticipating the worst and saying we can outlast this. If we live by these principles, we can outlast this, while gay activism has within itself the seeds of self-destruction. Let me repeat. One of those seeds of self-destruction is when you redefine marriage, you render it meaningless. You can no longer explain why it has to be two. Why can't it be one? Why can't you marry yourself? Why can't it be three or eight? When you redefine it, you can no longer put other boundaries in, except perhaps consenting adults. But then even there, you could say, well, consent can come in many, many different ways and forms and shapes. You as crazy as it is, and I am not comparing the relationship of two men or two women in love to the relationship between a man and a dog, okay? Or a woman and her cat. I'm not comparing those. But theoretically, once you've redefined marriage, you can't even limit it to two humans. Because the only reason it's two And the only reason it's human is because of the nature of marriage and what it is. So that's one of the things now that look, it's already happening. The polygamists are already saying, well, here we are. Here we are. Based on the words of Justice Kennedy. Look, let me just read a little bit of what he actually said. And I have this in my article. Thank you, Justice Kennedy. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. Then share it with your friends. Become part of our social media army, our radio social media army that is making an impact around America and even in the nations. We are making an impact together. Great teamwork. Thank you for the partnership. I first thank Justice Kennedy for this. I thank you first for helping to galvanize the opposition to redefining marriage, much as the Roe v. Wade decision helped galvanize the pro-life movement. In a moment of time, you've done more to energize our side than a string of political victories for us could ever have done. You have so painted us into a corner and so overstepped the bounds of your office that you have single-handedly strengthened our resolve to stand, even unifying groups and individuals that had not worked together before now. For that, sir, I sincerely thank you. And then I thanked him for this. I also want to thank you for confirming what we've been saying for many years now, namely that gay activism is the principal threat to our freedoms of speech, religion, and conscience. And I go on and talk about that more and how we now get to live out what Jesus has spoken. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But then I said this, finally, I want to thank you for confirming something else I and others have said many times before, namely, if you redefine marriage, you make it meaningless. Your ruling does that in the most articulate way, as your dissenting colleagues also indicated in their brilliant and penetrating opinions. You offered as a fundamental reason for same-sex, quote, marriage, the argument that, quote, this is Justice Kennedy, the nature of marriage is that, through its enduring bond, two persons together can find other freedoms, such as expression, intimacy, and spirituality. Well, aside from the fact that that is his definition of marriage and that has nothing to do with what the Constitution says, why two? The number two is completely arbitrary now. The nature of marriage is that through its enduring bond, several persons, a combination of persons together, can find other freedoms such as expression, intimacy, spirituality. What if you find your spirituality by marrying a plant? Well, again, I'm not comparing that to two men or two women in love. Look at what he also says. He speaks of the importance of marriage here. He said it safeguards children and families and thus draws meaning from related rights of childbearing, procreation, and education. Gay couples themselves cannot procreate. They can procreate ideas. They can procreate in terms of influence, but they cannot, two men or two women cannot produce a child. His own definition becomes completely bogus. A polygamist can say, that's us. We're safeguarding children and families. The women involved are happily involved. We're caring for children. We're having children. And we're joining children to the mom and the dad. Same-sex couples can't do that. We can. They've now got a better case to make. In fact, I've said for years that polygamy is not as far down the slippery slope as same-sex, quote, marriage is. Friends, once you redefine marriage, you render it meaningless. And the only reason the government gets involved with the definition of marriage is not because it cares about people's love lives. It's not because it wants to affirm people's relationships. Does the government tell you who you can date or not date? No. The only reason it gets involved in marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society. Therefore, society conveys benefits on marriage. What's the benefit that marriage conveys? The reproduction of children, this is as the norm. You don't deal with the exception to the rule, like a 90-year-old couple that gets married. You deal with the norm, which is male, female. They're the only ones that can procreate. I'll say it again. Every gay couple with a child, there is someone else involved with that child coming into the world. So the purpose of marriage, as far as the government is concerned, the only reason the government's concerned, they care less if you're living together or not, or if you love this person or not. The only reason the government gets involved is because these couples can procreate in themselves, and then join the child to the biological mother and father, which is the best for long-term social welfare. That's why the government gets involved. That's what a same-sex marriage can't do, can never do. It guarantees you not have to have another person and an expensive process of bringing a child into the world, as opposed to a man and woman in love, married, sleeping together at night, having sex, and producing a child. A gay couple can't do that, no matter how much they love each other, no matter how much they love that child they adopted or brought into the world through artificial insemination, whatever it is. They can't do that. So you've got the expensive process to bring a child into the world, and you guarantee the child is separated from either the mother or father. That is what matters, friends. And that's why we don't redefine marriage. I could care less that the Supreme Court has chosen to redefine it. God has not redefined it. And followers of Jesus and other conservative religionists and conservative moralists have not redefined it. And let me say again, this is not the end of the battle. This is the beginning. Just like Roe v. Wade galvanized opposition to abortion on demand, and the pro-life movement today is stronger than it was 40 years ago. Unless Jesus comes first, if we persevere, if we live by biblical principles, I lay out principles to live by in Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Again, I encourage you to go to Amazon, pre-order a copy. It doesn't come out until September, but the more people that pre-order, the more push it will have when it comes out. You'll be blessed by the book. Oh, you'll be helped. You'll be encouraged. You'll be strengthened. Your eyes will be opened. You'll be equipped with a massive amount of information in under 300 pages, readable, packed in, clear. But when the book comes out, by God's grace, it can take off and shout a message to the nation. I'm going to give you some fascinating insights when we come back, and some from the lips of gay activist leaders themselves, right here on The Line of Fire, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me ask you a question. Do you really think that the culture that is celebrating, quote, Caitlyn Jenner, the culture that is pushing for gender-neutral bathrooms, the culture that is having boys play on girls' sports teams and use girls' locker rooms, the culture that is celebrating polygamy, polyamory, incest, and swingers, and all the latest fads. Hey, popular opinion, 4 or 5 years ago, according to one major poll, 7% of Americans were in favor of polygamy. 4 or 5 years later, doubled, 14%. Why? What else do you expect? Do you really think that a culture that continues to give way to sexual anarchy, that a culture that continues to attack gender, that a culture that continues to make marriage malleable, changeable, that culture is going to be able to sustain itself? The answer is absolutely not. Well, what will happen? Well, one thing could be the whole nation collapses and fragments, and there's all kinds of problems that we haven't foreseen yet. That could happen. Obviously, Jesus could come first in the midst of collapse or before collapse. That could happen. Or God's people could wake up. God's people could start living right. God's people could start living with sexual purity. God's people could start living by God's principles for marriage. Oh, we have in part, but we could start to do it on a massive level. We could start to celebrate gender distinctions. We could start to bring more and more godly kids into the world, as so many have done. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. But as we increase, these are some of the principles in my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, that we could be the last man standing. Because sexual purity trumps sexual anarchy, and beautiful God-ordained marriage will withstand the tide of redefining marriage. That's why I have great hope. That's why you should have great hope. You say, but I'm so frustrated. What can I do? Well, pray. Pray for awakening. If there's sin in your own life, compromise in your own life, repent of that, ask God to forgive you. And then live a life of sexual purity. Practice godliness. Pour into your marriage. Pour into your kids. Pray about having more kids. if you're blessed and able to pour into your kids more and more, just do it. Walk in love. Refuse to degenerate into the hatred. Don't compromise your convictions. Pray for revival. And friends, we'll be the ones that people are coming to saying, you're living by God's ways, and God's ways are ways of life. Look, truth be told, if the American government was purely interested in health issues, under no circumstances would it be promoting homosexual practice, especially men with men. But even with women with women, there are more health risks among lesbian women than straight women, according to a number of studies that I have read. Friends, we would not be promoting a lifestyle with behaviors that give way to massively high percentage of sexually transmitted diseases. If we're fighting against obesity, and we should because of the terrible health risk that is to our country, if we're fighting against cigarette smoking because of the health risk that is to our society, and it's good that we put the warnings out, then we should have a warning. What do you think happens in schools when you've got these gay and lesbian straight alliances, the GSA so-called, gay and straight alliance, when you're encouraging kids to come out? You're talking about kids who are going to be sexually active more at an earlier age. That's our whole culture is cultivating sexual anarchy. All right, this is the culture in the midst of which the gay activist movement is being accepted and tolerated and celebrated. This is the context. This is the backdrop, friends. So look, you've got kids coming out now at a younger age. You've got boys having sex with boys and girls having sex with girls. The vast, vast majority of new HIV cases leading to AIDS, the vast, vast majority are men having sex with men, and a disproportionate number between 13 and 24. This is a travesty. This is a travesty. And even in the most gay-affirming city in America, or the most gay-affirming country in the world, the rates of suicide, depression, drug and alcohol abuse, and sexually transmitted diseases are much higher among those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. It's all documented in my new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. And I quote from a gay activist in England who says, we can't blame this all on homophobia. A lot of it has to do with our lifestyle. So here's something fascinating. Again, I laid out in my book, but now I'm reading articles about this in the secular media. The only way that gay activists succeeded was they got away from "we're here, we're queer, get used to it." They got away from emphasizing their otherness, their being different, and their sexual obsessions, and putting those on giant floats in front of little children going down major city streets. So that still happens, but it's become much more tame in many other places. And many, that's just their expression. They're more tame. They don't like those other expressions. I understand that. There are plenty of conservative sexual homosexuals, and they're committed, you know, to one partner, and they think it's bad to be unfaithful. I mean, they're in the minority in many ways, because most of these marriages, especially with men, have certain open loopholes. But here's the thing. The way that they have won the current battle, the way they've won this battle, is by saying, we're just like you. We're just like you. We want marriages. We want families. We want to raise kids and be just like you. The early gay activists militantly opposed marriage. This was a patriarchal institution that needed to be destroyed. The only way they've triumphed is by saying, we're just like you. Well, okay, now that they've triumphed in this regard, this was the big thing, redefining marriage. Now what? Now what galvanizes them? Now what's the, when you're celebrated for coming out, it's not a transition point in life anymore. It doesn't bring you together that same way. There are gay activists who are saying, what's going to happen to our identity? We liked it more when we were different. What's ultimately going to happen is either the wild, promiscuous, sexually perverse side is going to triumph more and more and more. Of course, it's a perversion for a man to be with a man, or a woman to be with a woman, in terms of a perversion of what God intended for the human body. But I'm talking about the extremes, the excesses, all of that. That's just going to be, there's no restraint on it anymore. Out and proud, and Americans are going to turn against that. or they'll just blur into the larger heterosexual society, which ultimately will be the dominant society, and God's ways will ultimately predominate. It's interesting that Andrew Sullivan, one of the most prominent gay activists, journalists, bloggers, has said, you know, history doesn't go in a straight line, and it looked like we were losing, and then suddenly everything turns. You know what that means? Suddenly everything can turn back. Be encouraged. Be in it for the long haul. Walk in love. Reach out in love to every person you meet, including those who identify as gay and lesbian, and stand fast for what's right. We are standing together, and we'll see the triumph of God. Stand with us, friends. We need your support. Go to the website, become a torchbearer, askdrbrown.org, click on donate. Your partnership means the world to us. My bottom line today, yes, America is in a miserable place of spiritual moral decline, but Jesus is Lord, and I believe great awakening will still come.